Special thanks to Indiana Wesleyan University College of Adult and Professional Studies for underwriting this week's program. Finish your degree and start your dream with Indiana Wesleyan University's College of Adult and Professional Studies, with education centers in Dayton and Cincinnati. Welcome to Conversations in Courage, a broadcasting production of Aaron Campbell Ministries. Your host is Life Coach Emily Bauman. And now to our already in session program, Because Every Woman Has a Story. Portia, you're joining us via phone from Rhode Island, and you are an author and an ordained minister, Portia, and we're just delighted that you could join us today. I know you have a message that pertains to many of us today, so thanks so much for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Emily.
Absolutely. I love your book, and you start out early in your book as you're looking back in history of you as a small girl, and you share with your audience that as a child, you knew you had a special destiny as a young person.
Yeah.
Wow. Tell us about that, and what do you attribute to that?
Well, I remember being in our car traveling. I'm from a military family. My father was in the Army, so we traveled a lot and lived many places. And I remember specifically one time in the car, because I spent a lot of time in the car, and we were driving one night, and I couldn't sleep in the back seat, and so I was looking up at the sky at the stars. And the best that I can explain it, though I didn't understand it at the time, was there was a God. There was some kind of a power bigger than me, and I was created for a special purpose, though I didn't understand what that meant at the time. And it was a sense that there was only me at the moment, that I was the only one in the world, and something, somebody was watching me.
And what a comfort to you. And you had to kind of start acting on that impression immediately, because already at 10 years old, you got in touch with this real drive as a little person, and you were a radio operator yourself.
Yes.
And, in fact, you were the youngest radio operator in the state of Alaska?
That is correct. At 10 years old, I was. Yes. And I remember building my own transmitter one summer. My father actually built the receiver. And when we hooked it up to try it out, his started smoking and mine worked perfectly.
Oh, there you go. That special destiny for your life. You
were, and I had to learn Morse code, and it was an amazing experience.
Oh, how did your dad respond in that?
Well, he was very proud of me, and I received fan mail from all over the world. I was featured in a very popular magazine. But I didn't continue with it once we left Alaska. But at the time, it was very exciting. I have to tell you, though, I wasn't taken very seriously by all the adult radio operators at the time.
Well, if I would have known you back then, we would have had you on air.
Oh,
it would have
okay.
been great. I think we can all learn a whole lot from children.
But, you know, Emily, I see even now that I had a destiny in radio in some way or another.
It is very sweet to see that was already being called forth in you as a young person. And then your life went on, Portia, and today I'm sitting here looking at your book, No Secondhand Rose, which really chronicles your journey of over a decade with mental illness, with severe depression, and your struggle in hospitalization to treat your depression, and your journey to regain wholeness. And as you look back, when you were a kid, were you sad at that time? Were you already feeling the weight of some of this?
No, I wasn't. I actually had a pretty good childhood, though I had some issues with my relationship with my father. And I would see later on in my life, in the choices that I would make, very destructive choices, before I came to know the Lord, that my relationship with my father played a part in that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't raised in a Christian home, though I went to church quite often with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling like I really didn't have a voice. He was a military man. I think that that played a part in it. So I always felt like I couldn't express my own thoughts, that I had to do whatever he said. And he was very overbearing, very controlling when I was a child.
In my own studies and understanding of mental illness, that often an impression without expression will lead to depression.
Well, that's good.
That there is something within all of us that needs to be able to speak our heart and speak the truth that's there and give expression to our impressions. But you went on to find your voice then and to find your faith. How did that happen?
Yeah. Well, that was a long journey because right after high school, I married. I didn't know it at the time. It's always hindsight. But I think part of marrying right away was to get away from my father. And so I married a man, and I didn't realize it until 2 weeks after we were married that he was an alcoholic. And so that plunged me into a relationship. I didn't know how to drive. I was young. I was 18. And it plunged me into a time of loneliness, and because he was never home, and sometimes he would disappear for days. And we had a baby right away, so I was left alone with this baby. But I did leave that marriage, and within a year or so, I married again to a supposedly an ex-convict, reformed drug addict, only he wasn't reformed. This man, I would find out later, had contracts out on people. He was hired for things like this. And I believe I stayed in this marriage longer than I needed to because I didn't want to go home and admit to my father that I had blew it again. And so I stayed, and by the time I left that marriage, we were living in a condemned building with rats, no food, and I do remember a dark presence coming down the stairs as I was coming up, and I believe from that time on, I began to have problems with depression.
Hidden Agendas, Boldly Facing Life's Hidden Traps. For more information about the series and other discipleship resources, visit our website at erincampbellministries.com. Let's grow together in our faith.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined in the studio via phone with author and ordained minister, Portia Ross. And Portia is sharing her chronological journey through her life as she captured that in her book, No Secondhand Rose. And Portia, you know, today obviously we know so much about depression and about the medical implications of it. And the American Medical Association tells us that 22% of Americans will suffer this year with depression. And when you were falling into this first depression, did you know what was happening?
No, I didn't. Other than I had a sense that some of it had to do with all of the choices that I had made. By the time I left my second marriage, I had lost everything. And I felt like such a failure. And I also had discovered later on that there was a history of depression in my family. Mm-hmm. And there were some relatives that had actually had breakdowns. And some had struggled with depression their whole life.
What led you to get the help?
After I met my third husband, who is now my husband for 33 years now, praise the Lord.
Yay!
Yay! There is hope. And I received the Lord probably a year and a half after I married him, because I discovered that this man wasn't perfect either. And I couldn't find joy. I couldn't find help. I couldn't find a reason for why things weren't working out with my third marriage, because this man was a good man. He was a stable man, and he could take care of us financially. And so I started having problems with depression even then, and I had a breakdown, and the breakdown is what started it. I started having problems sleeping. I started having racing thoughts. I started losing weight. I got down to 110 pounds, which was very low weight for me at the time. And I kept trying to fight it, but it was getting worse and worse. And then I started having problems with suicide. I wanted to kill myself.
Mm. What was going on in your thought pattern, your beliefs about yourself that were leading to some of these feelings that were overwhelming to you?
I think at the back of my mind was that I was a failure, that my life was over, that I couldn't do anything right, that everything I touched just disintegrated. Even my third marriage, I was destroying my husband. And before I married him, I actually cried out to God, could he send me someone to love me? And so this man stood by me through all my issues. And so I think I had this search for success to feel valuable. And, you know, even your husband, even a good man, a good loving husband, cannot fill that void. Only God can do that.
Many times there does seem to be this correlation within ourselves to high expectations, to who we think we need to be or who we need to measure up to in life. And that produces that sense of hopelessness. How did you deal with that?
When I was searching for answers, I was introduced to a woman at a military party. And I started talking to her, and I just had this sense that she was listening to me. I mean, listening to me with her heart. And I was very drawn to her. And so after the party, a week or so later, she called me, and I happened to start telling her all my problems. And I remember thinking, why am I telling this woman all my problems? I mean, I don't even know her.
So that was kind of a new experience for you to be listened to?
Yes. Mm. Yes. It's hard to explain if you don't have a relationship with God yet in His Spirit, to understand that drawing. Now I understand what it was. It was the Lord in her that was drawing me. There was a love that was beyond human love, and she pursued me. I didn't know at the time that God had a plan, but He was pursuing me. I did have a destiny, and it was going to unfold, but it would take a long time to unfold in the years to come. And never would I know at that time that I would be one that would be speaking, writing, preaching, teaching, giving other people hope. It's an amazing thing that God can reverse the things in your life for good.
And yeah. You recall that there was a simple thought that you heard from your friend around attitude that stuck with you through your depression. Tell us about that.
I started asking her a lot of questions about God, and she gave me this pamphlet. It was a tract, and I would take it and I would read it every night, and nothing in the book made any sense to me. It mentioned scriptures, it mentioned the Lord, but one sentence stuck out at me, and it said, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your attitudes will change. And, oh, I wanted that so bad. Because when my children would come home, I would be laying on the couch watching soap operas, so miserable. And my husband, I treated him so bad, and yet I didn't want to treat him bad. And I kept trying to change. And so when I saw that sentence, it gave me hope. I thought, my attitude. attitudes can change. Mm. So that really spoke very loudly to me and drew me to her more in what she was saying to me.
Mm. And what happened that you did end up giving your heart to God?
She kept pursuing me, and I had had a minor surgery at that time, and she came to my home to take care of my son, and I told her she didn't even have to do any housekeeping or anything. Well, I remember she cleaned my commode, and I was experiencing depression at that time, and I knew I needed to clean the house, but I didn't have any desire to. And she kept pursuing me, and I kept asking her questions, and she kept giving me answers. And I remember that was just amazing to me, that she had an answer for every question I asked, even though, Emily, I didn't even understand the answers. But there was some kind of power that would come out of her mouth, and I sensed it. I didn't understand it, but I knew something was happening in my life.
Mm.
And so one day, she just point blank said to me, well, are you ready to receive Jesus as your Savior? And I got angry. I thought, who is she to do this? And yet I was the one asking her all the questions. And then she said, well, you're going to have to make a decision. And the next day, when she came to my house, she said, are you ready? And I remember I started crying because this was what I was afraid of. I had tried everything in my life. I had tried marriages, I had tried going to college, I had tried drugs, I had tried transcendental meditation, I had tried self-help books, I had tried everything. If this didn't work, I knew I would die. That's the way I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried out to God for mercy. I screamed at the top of my lungs, God, will you have mercy on me? And do you know, that was a turning point in my life. Not that very moment, but I began to see that when you cry out to God, that he will answer you. And he began to help me.
Mm-hmm.
He began to turn my thoughts towards him, that as I began to seek him and seek his word, he was going to help me get out of the mess I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Hidden Agendas, Boldly Facing Life's Hidden Traps. For more information about the series and other discipleship resources, visit our website at erincampbellministries.com. Let's grow together in our faith.
I'm joined in the studios via phone with Portia Ross, and Portia is an author and an ordained minister, a woman who can stand in a very courageous conversation and be able to encourage others to keep going on a path towards wholeness and towards freedom from pain and from our own expectations many times. And, Portia, after you accepted Christ and came into faith, what I loved reading is that you felt an innocence again to your life.
Yes. What was so exciting to me, I felt brand new. I actually felt like the only man I had ever known was my present husband, and it was a wonderful experience.
Mm. Certainly so hope-filled, and thinking of the scripture where God tells us that when we turn to him, he washes us whiter than snow.
Yes.
And how hard it is sometimes for us to see ourselves that way, but knowing that his mercies are new every day, just as
yes.
you shared. Now, as you've moved forward then, and you became a new creation in Christ, what was happening then to your healing mentally and emotionally with your illness?
Well, I was still under a psychiatrist's care because I was still on powerful medicines. But the Lord gave me an impression that when the doctor said I could be off the medicine, then I could stop seeing him and he was going to heal me. And so when it was time for me to be off the medicines, I went to the psychiatrist and told him I wouldn't be coming back anymore, that the Lord was going to heal me. And that didn't go over very well. He said he couldn't give me his blessing. But I knew that God had spoken to me. And so I made a leap of faith. I was still very insecure about it, but I began to trust God, and He led me to a K. Arthur Bible study. And as I began to learn how to study the Word of God, I found in the Word of God that He wanted us whole and healthy, and He really had a good plan for me. And so it was a gradual process, but I began to see that by trusting the Lord and seeking His Word, that there was hope, and I actually started getting better. One of the pivotal scriptures, it's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path.
Portia, in your book you share that not one of us, you believe, is exempt from God's desire to make our lives significant and fulfilling.
Yes.
Yet, I know there's someone listening today who feels that their life is of little significance. What would you say to that individual?
Start telling God what you're feeling. Start talking to Him. Tell Him exactly how you feel and everything that you are going through. As I began to do that, my journey with the Lord, I began to see, according to God's Word, that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. And so a connection started just by me talking to the Lord. Now, I have to say right away, I didn't necessarily feel that connection, but I was desperate. And that's what I would tell you. Start talking to the Lord, and He will begin to unfold His plan for you, because you are significant. God created you. There is no one else like you. And you were created for a purpose. You're going to be able to reach people that I can't reach because of your circumstances that you've gone through and your past history. There's someone out there that needs you.
I think that's a message that is so countercultural, because we certainly hear so much about relying on ourselves and trusting in ourselves and looking to ourselves, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. But what you're saying is the relationship began when you released it, when you surrendered your feelings to God, when you invited Him into that, and He started to rebuild you into a place of wholeness.
Yes, He did. He started revealing to me also the pain of my childhood and my relationship with my father. He started healing that. He healed my relationship with my father, and that was a wonderful thing. You know, you can be healed. The other person doesn't have to change before you can change. You know, the Bible says that He heals the brokenhearted, and He healed my broken heart. He put it back together again, and He can do that for anyone.
We know that God is available to us in illness and in brokenness and is healing, and that is your testimony. A lot of times in my work as a professional life coach, I do a lot with positive psychology and focusing with clients on what is working in life and what would they like their life to look like. And many times when I line that up against Scripture and what God talks about, He comes at that attitude too. And how do you not allow your emotions to win over the truth of God's Word and over who He says you are, Portia?
Well, you know, I was hoping you would ask me that. Because in that journey of wholeness, I had to learn to renew my mind because my thoughts had become destructive, self-destructive, and my thoughts were negative. They tended to be hopeless. And so God took me through a training process, actually, and it was a bit tedious, but it was necessary, where every thought that popped into my head, I had to say, okay, is this true according to God's viewpoint? Is this true according to what His Word says? Is this true according to His nature? And so gradually, as I began to renew my mind according to the truth, it affected my emotions, you see. My emotions started to act right. Doesn't mean I don't have my moments, you know, but I know that dwelling on the negative will spiral you down.
Taking every thought captive. Absolutely. Well, I know that folks are going to want to hear more from you and perhaps get in touch with you and your resources, because you have workbooks and books, and I've certainly enjoyed No Secondhand Rose, your book. And so how can anyone in our listening audience reach you, Portia?
They can call our toll-free number. It's 1-800-533-8854, or they can log on to my website at www.treasuresfromtheheart.org, or they can even write me at Treasures from the Heart, P.O. Box 717, Glendale, Rhode Island, 02826.
Well, Portia, thank you so much for sharing this conversation encouraged today with me. I know you have encouraged my spirit, and I just celebrate the work that you are doing as an overcomer and as a woman who is out sharing your wholeness and helping others into places of wholeness.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
This is Erin, and I hope you've enjoyed today's show. Visit erincampbellministries.org to listen to our archived radio shows and also browse through the ministry schedule for upcoming conferences. We would love to hear how this program has impacted your life. Visit erincampbellministries.org and email us from there. Erin Campbell Ministries is a listener and volunteer-supported ministry. Join us again next week for Conversations in Courage with Emily Bauman. God bless. Imagine finishing your degree and starting your dream. Imagine registering for your classes just once and having your books delivered to your doorstep. A degree program built around your work schedule with one of the fastest growing universities in the U.S. coming to your community. Imagine taking accelerated classes that meet just once a week or online with a faculty which teach from a Christian worldview and makes you their specialty. Can you imagine a degree program that lets you successfully juggle family, career, and other life commitments? Then imagine Indiana Wesleyan University, College of Adult and Professional Studies. Indiana Wesleyan University has education centers in Cincinnati and in Dayton and offers adult students associates, bachelor's, master's degrees in business, a bachelor completion program for registered nurses, and a master's degree in education and nursing. To learn more, call toll-free 1-866-IWU-4U so you can finish your degree and start your dream at Indiana Wesleyan University's College of Adult and Professional Studies.